advertisement in China.
Thank you, David. Hello, everyone. I'm Zhe. I come from Southeast University in China. And although this is my first time being here, I started sending emails and asking questions about like gradients and HDR images, I think in 2012 or 13. So thank again for all the people who are really helpful and answer my questions quickly. I started with daylighting research, so I used to do like daylight glare and radial perception and also like daylighting design metrics. But today I want to show something new I just started this year. It's actually more like artificial lighting aspect. So it's about a simulation method of self-luminance signboards in residential areas in China. So light pollution is becoming more and more severe, and it's well known that it's a worldwide problem. And in China, we have this urban lighting projects, which started like around 30 years ago. It started in 1990s in Shanghai first, and then quickly spread all over the nation. And this is like the main reason result in severe light pollutions in China. So if you search like night views of like big cities like Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, right, you get all these colorful images. And it is beautiful, but also it results in severe light pollution. But we don't hope to put, you know, to solve the base, this big issue just in this small research. And we focus on just a detail and narrow down the research scale to the signboards attached to the first floor of the residential buildings. So you see all these images, some I took, some I asked my friends to take, just distributed in different cities of China. And we have this very commonly used type of building with the first floor on the, and the shopping places on the first floor, and then the residential part on the upper floor. And in that case, you see lots of colorful signboards, and we have the stores open like much longer than the situation here. They usually close around like 10 or sometimes during weekends, it's around 11 p.m. It depends on whether or not you have customers. So in that case, these kind of shops do provide convenience to residents, but also light pollution during the night. And I use Nanjing as a case study because I work and live there. And from the pilot study, we can tell like in Nanjing, you know, the signboards actually have diverse colors, meaning the spectral composition. And also, you know, the luminance, both the photopaic and circadian luminance actually vary dynamically. And because we actually, you know, because the shop owners want people to see their shops clearly, so we actually have very standardized signboard designs in case of the dimension of the signboards and also Chinese font. And according to Tong's, just one Chinese researcher's research, he categorized the signboards into these four types. So based on the illuminating system, so there are like, you know, the neon-based, the LED-based, the internal light box, the external flat box, these are the same one, and then the mixed lighting systems. And based on the pilot study, Nanjing actually, the internal light box is commonly used in Nanjing, so we focus on this type. And we subcategorize this type into the projection and the surface one. We just name it because, you know, if the Chinese character project out, we just project it. We just name it projection. So just a little bit of literature review concerning the signboard because there are like limited numbers. And to make the long story short, we draw like three key points. The first one is, you know, you can tell from the writings, like this signboard light pollution is kind of like Asian style because we have more people and high density of the buildings. And we do have the stores open longer than, you know, some other countries. And also, there isn't sufficient study concerning both the visual and non-visual aspects of the signboards. And just my personal preference, like, you know, there isn't much study using the simulation method to explore it. And here shows some regulations and codes concerning the signboards.
So like CIE, ISNA, they just assigned the 800 kind of square meter as the maximum allowed length. But for China, you know, because we have like 23 provinces, so some provinces actually offered more detail allows luminance values. Like, you know, we have like used just the different areas to separate the maximum allowed luminance values, or, you know, they gave the, you know, the installation height. Like if you put a signboard like up on the high rise building, you know, it's far away from people, so you can make it relatively brighter. So my research objectives include two. One is to propose and verify a method that integrates both the measurement and simulation for self-luminance signboards. And the other one, because I'm using Nanjing as a case study, so I can just evaluate the lighting quality simultaneously. Here shows the research flow. And it's just a typical research of validating a simulation method. But there are like two things I want to emphasize. One is we want to calibrate or validate the simulation methods through two ways. One is the individual signboards, because we use the spectral reading meter to measure the spot of luminance values from each signboard, so we can actually simulate the individual signboards. And the other one is we want to use the context, and I choose Hongmiao as the context, which I'll explain later. So in that case, we actually want to see what's the community level of influence upon people. And the other thing is we want to do both photopeak and circadian illuminance and luminance calibrations. So in that case, for the photopeak illuminance and luminance simulation, we use Radiant's traditional three-channel simulation. And for the circadian part, we actually use a nine-channel simulation, which is the LARC software proposed and developed by Malika and other researchers. And for the simulation part, because at this stage we are more interested in the lighting leaving the signboard rather than what's going on inside the signboard. So after several emails discussed with Greg back and forth, we decided to use flow material. So for the three channel, it's easy and straightforward to create it. And for the nine channel simulation, you need to input both the spectral power density and the luminance values. So let me just quickly go through our research procedure. We measured the luminance and the spectral power density of each signboard. And some signboards we measure like 2 or 3 points, some signboards like 6 points. It depends on whether, you know, it's only the character itself luminance or it's both the characters and the background self-luminance. And we also measure the illuminance and spectral power density of this Hongmiao strip. So this is like 173 meters long with 14 meters wide. It's a online celebrity pedestrian street, so they have lots of stores, like around 40 stores on both northern and southern part. And lots of young people actually after work, they come here and post some pictures about some good restaurants here. So even we did the collection like 1 hour after sunset, we still have lots of stores going on. So it's not, they're not like as fancy as the restaurant we went to last night, but some of the food is still good. So for the three channel simulation, the glow material generation is pretty straightforward. We actually convert the CIE trans-stimulus XYZ values to the RGB values. And in total, we measure 75 signboards. And you see we actually use Xuanwu district. It's an old part of Nanjing city. So there are like high density of residential buildings. And for the nine-channel simulation, because Malika actually proposed, she subdivided the three-channel into other three channels, so we create the glow materials for RGB channels respectively, and we also use the mesh luminance divided by 179 as the conversion coefficient. We also want to see, you know, if the measured value can match the simulated values in terms of circadian luminance. So we use the CIE toolbox to calculate the EDI value, but there's a conversion coefficient between the EDI and simulated EMI. So this is just to show the simulation procedure and just use the red tape MBE and RMSE for the calibration. Let me just quickly go through some results. So this graphic, the x-axis shows the sign ball error and the y-axis shows the measured photopigment values. And this transparent blue area, within this blue area, it means these colorful dots actually satisfy the national codes. But outside of this error means all these values actually exceed the national code. Based on our measurement, we can tell like white and red colors are the topmost used colors. And also 42% of the measured data exceeded the national code. And here shows the comparison between the simulated values and the measured values. So the left figure actually shows the photopeak results and the right figure shows the circadian results. And from the red tape BME and RMSE, we can tell the 3-channel and 9-channel actually present pretty good results with the relative errors within 5%. And for the circadian simulation, the relative error is within 10%. So it works. And since the 9-channel simulation result actually is reliable, I just want to go a little bit deeper on the circadian part. So here just shows some representative sign bars. So this column is just the viral appearance. It just appeared the way it is. And the middle one is the false color image of photopaic luminance. And then the right one is the circadian luminance. So from these color differences, we can certainly tell, okay, these colors are different in terms of viral and non-viral impact. And just combining with this table and then this graphic over here, we can clearly tell. So both the blue and white colors present greater of circadian luminance than photopaic luminance. And yellow and red colors actually present lower circadian luminance than photopaic luminance. And green actually present close values between these two, which is understandable, you know, considering the viral and non-viral response curve. Here just show a little bit of the calibrated luminance values, but we ran into some simulation errors, so we still need to keep working on this part. Just want to quickly summarize my study here. So far we can say that, you know, both 9-channel and 3-channel simulation methods are capable of simulating photopaic and circadian luminance respectively. And also if we want to recommend the colors of sign bar designs, if, you know, they are all in the, on the same level of photopaic luminance, we'll go like red, yellow, green, warm white, cool white, and blue. And blue is actually, it's interesting to see only a few shop owners choose blue. I think maybe they all feel like blue is kind of, it's not that, maybe not designed well. And then another thing is unfortunate, even just in Xuanwu district in Nanjing, there are nearly half of the mirror lighting sign boards exceeded the national cost. So for my ongoing work, first of course, I like to finish the validation part. And then once we accumulate enough data, I think it's possible for us, you know, to propose some simplified algorithm depending on different colors of the sign boards. And for the detailed parts, we actually want to, you know, once if we come up with some small software, we can have the manufacturers and designers to control the amount of light leaving the signboard by doing some models and suggesting the luminaire selections, you know, like the colors, the numbers, and also the translucent materials. Because so far all the light box actually, the colors is determined by the exterior material rather than the interior luminaires. And then the last one, if the whole thing works, we could possibly expand this study, you know, in other parts of China. Thank you very much.